Chapter 6. Seen from a balloon, Moonstone would have looked like a Noah's Ark town set out in the sand and lightly shaded by gray-green tamarisks and cottonwoods. A few people were trying to make soft maples grow in their turfed lawns, but the fashion of planting incongruous trees from the North Atlantic states had not become general then, and the frail, brightly painted desert town was shaded by the light-reflecting, wind-loving trees of the desert, whose roots are always seeking water, and whose leaves are always talking about it, making the sound of rain. The long, porous roots of the cottonwood are irrepressible. They break into the wells as rats do into granaries, and thieve the water. The long street which connected Moonstone with the depot settlement traversed in its course a considerable stretch of rough open country, staked out in lots, but not built up at all, a weedy hiatus between the town and the railroad. When you set out along this street to go to the station, you noticed that the houses became smaller and farther apart, until they ceased altogether, and the board sidewalk continued its uneven course through sunflower patches, until you reached the solitary, new brick Catholic church. The church stood there because the land was given to the parish by the man who owned the adjoining waste lots, in the hope of making them more saleable. Farrier's Addition, this patch of prairie was called in the clerk's office. An eighth of a mile beyond the church was a washout, a deep sand gully where the board sidewalk became a bridge for perhaps 50 feet. Just beyond the gully was old Uncle Billy Beamer's grove, 12 town lots set out in fine, well-grown cottonwood trees, delightful to look upon or to listen to as they swayed and rippled in the wind. Uncle Billy had been one of the most worthless old drunkards who ever sat on a store box and told filthy stories. One night he played hide and